You're listening to ABC Radio Melbourne.
If you've just joined us, I'm Andrew Hansen. I'm a bit of a Melbourne noob. I'm a bit green to Melbourne. I haven't been here that long. And one of the things that struck me when I first moved here was this type of stone, this kind of dark, bluey, greyy sort of stone that things are made of. And I hadn't really seen it before. It's everywhere. I discovered this bluish-coloured stone has a name. I found out. It's called bluestone. Who would have thought? Good name for it. And there's a fantastic piece on the Conversation website, a very interesting piece about how bluestone has shaped the identity of Melbourne. We're lucky enough to have with us the author of that piece right now. It's Professor Stephanie Trigg from the University of Melbourne. Afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andrew. Good to be here.
So what is the famous buildings that are made out of bluestone? Like, how do we, you know, we recognise them? What are the really well-known ones?
I'm reckoning most listeners will think of Pentridge Prison up in Coburg, which is a 1850s prison.
It has a nickname, doesn't it?
The nickname is Bluestone College.
Bluestone College.
Because of all the things that you might learn when you go to prison.
Oh,
it's funny. So that was built in the 1850s, really to house convicts brought down from Sydney to help with Melbourne's construction.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah. I'm one of those, you see.
There you go. So that could be a residency. And you can go and live in Blues, and you can go and live in Pentridge now. It's now a residential settlement.
Oh, is it? So yeah, you can live in it.
Yeah, it was decommissioned as a jail a number of years ago, and it's been taken over as a series of apartments, piazzas, cafes. It's a very chichy area of Coburg now.
Okay. Yeah. And then I know there are some religious buildings too. Is it made of bluestone?
Many, many churches. I mean, the most famous in Melbourne is probably St. Patrick's Cathedral, the Catholic Cathedral. And opposite that, St. Mary's Eastern Hill, also made of bluestone. A number of churches, particularly in the north, the west and the southwest of the city. So bluestone, it's associated with Melbourne, but it's very much a kind of a geographically placed sort of stone because it comes from volcanic explosions to the north and to the west and southwest of Melbourne. So there's not really so much bluestone in the eastern suburbs or the southeast where the land is built on sort of clay and sandy soils. Oh. So this sort of heavy dark rock is really associated with the north and the western volcanic flows.
So how was it formed out of volcanoes? Was it
through huge fiery explosions? Yeah. It's really solidified molten lava. Sometimes comes out as flows, and sometimes comes out as exploding boulders, like big lumps of stone, like small stones, really. Mm. And then they either land in water where they cool quickly and often become quite porous and bubbly, like a honeycomb texture in shape. But if they land just on the land and just cool down slowly, then you get a much stronger, more denser stone. And that's the stone that's really prized for building because it's so solid. It's so heavy. Anyone who's dug it up out of their back garden to dig a swimming pool, a driveway, a wine cellar in the north and west of Melbourne will know exactly how hard those stones are to move. They're held together by this black, sticky mud, which is called the Merry Creek mud. It's We have it under our house. My husband dug a cellar.
Oh,
and
lucky
it was
you.
It's just disgusting. It's black. It stays on your hands for days. And it's what they use as the basis for the cricket pitch at the MCG.
Oh, is that what it gives it its legendary texture?
Stickiness, yes, that's right. It's the Merry Creek. Merry soil, I think it's called, but it's a heavy black clayish texture. And that's what holds the bluestones together.
So are we still, by the way, this is Professor Stephanie Trigg with us from Melbourne Uni, an expert on bluestone. Is it still useful? Is it still being dug up and, you know, is there a trade?
Absolutely, yes, there is. I mean, a lot of the bluestone that we use in Melbourne's current building comes from Port Ferry, from quarries down there. Mm. There were quarries all around the west of Melbourne. Maribyrnong, High Point West, if you go down to the car park under the High Point West Shopping Centre, you can still see the remains of one of the quarries there. There were quarries up where Coburg Lake is now under Pentridge Prison. It's a lake now because it was formerly a quarry where the prisoners were sent down to dig up the bluestone. That would make the prison, in one of the beautiful poetic ironies of the penitential use.
Right, yeah, built their own prison.
I know. It's bluestone history is full of those kind of amazing, ironic, but also poetic stories that people love to tell.
Mm.
So that's what I'm really interested in. I mean, I'm learning a lot about the geology and the history, but I think what really drives me is the conflicted feelings that people have about this amazing stone.
I think that's really interesting, and I'd love to hear from Melbourne on this issue. How do you feel about bluestone? Do you love it? Do you think it's gorgeous? Do you think it's wonderful? Or do you hate it? Do you think it's awful and grim? Give us a ring, 1-300-222-774. Or you can send a text as well, 0437 774 774. I'm here with Professor Stephanie Trigg. This is the time to weigh in on bluestone, because Stephanie is a bluestone expert from the University of Melbourne. How do you feel about it? Somebody has texted in to say Malmesbury bluestone's very good, and many buildings in Melbourne are built from Malmesbury stone.
Exactly, yeah. There's a really famous quarry with very high-quality stone as a particular kind of, I think it's a slightly greyish colour. I think that there are some people who can just look at the buildings in Melbourne. I mean, there are some real bluestone aficionados who can just look at a building and say, oh, well, I know what quarry that bluestone came from. Oh. I'm not at that level of expertise yet, but I'm working on that.
Oh, you'll get there. Yeah,
you'll get there.
Maybe when the book's finished, is that right? Are you working on a book?
I am working on a book, yeah. It's a long, slow burn, this book. But it's a project that comes out of, like, it has a number of points of origin, like all books. But I've been in Melbourne most of my life, and I've just been fascinated increasingly by this stone. It's so mundane. It's, you know, it's used for lining the pavements. It's the laneways that hold the city together. It's the foundations of some of the most, you know, some of the most beautiful buildings we think of, like the Parliament and the Treasury. Beautiful sandstone buildings, but they're built on bluestone foundations, which is what happens in Sydney. There is bluestone in Sydney, but it's just relegated to the foundations of buildings, like the sandstone in Melbourne too. But Melbourne has become the sandstone city. They built the bluestone city and Sydney the sandstone city. I think it really plays into that cultural opposition between Sydney as the city of golden light and the light reflected off the harbour and all that beauty, and Melbourne as a slightly, well, it's a substantially more dour, dark, serious city. And I think it's got a lot to do with that affect of the dark stone. And people are very rude about it when they talk about bluestone. They talk about it as ugly, as forbidding, as foreboding, as gloomy, as penitential. I think that is because of the influence of places like Pentridge, the old Melbourne jail too.
Well, when you build jails out of
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I think razor wire is pretty grim and gloomy too, but...
Exactly. But you wouldn't build a city out of razor wire. And yet people build Melbourne out of bluestone, and it's part of Melbourne's heritage revival. Yeah. So there's this real change in attitudes towards bluestone. It was first a really cheap, easily accessible stone during the gold rush. You needed to build a lot of buildings quickly. It's the local stone. You've also got convict labour handy to cut it up and to assemble things with it. But then I think because of that association with the convict past and with the penitential architecture, then it starts to be seen as too gloomy, too forbidding, and so people start breaking it up with white stucco, or they start using bricks for churches, they start using sandstone and other stones. But then in more recent years, there's this real recovery of bluestone as a kind of a heritage stone, and I think so there's an increased affection for it, and I think people are really fascinated by the way that stone holds a kind of history. It makes it so visible, and you can almost touch history when you think about the way that bluestone has been in our city for so long and has seen it through so many changes.